Welcome to MMA on the Rocks. My name is Bill Welker. You are listening to Picks and Pours, episode 22. This is the segment of the podcast where we drink really good whiskey and make mediocre fight picks. Of course, this coming weekend is the big one, folks. UFC 300, the one many of us have been looking forward to, the one that a lot of people were disappointed in the main event. But now that it's getting closer, I think the excitement is building. Before we get into any of that, let me introduce, from all the way across town, Matt the Mechanic and his washing machine. What's going on, Matt?
What's up, Bill? Hey, did you see the Juice died?
Yeah.
What I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about that.
I mean, yeah.
It's a weird one.
It's like he won the battle with the courts, but not with cancer. So I guess, I don't know.
It's a wash.
Yeah. We'll call it a draw.
Maybe.
I mean, I'm sure a lot of people would disagree, but we don't need to get into that. I wanted to pick a special bottle for tonight for making these picks for UFC 300. So I picked a one-of-a-kind bottle that actually comes out of Las Vegas, one of my favorite distilleries, Smoke Wagon. This is a private barrel. It was made exclusively for Florida liquor stores. I got it at Liquor Depot in Tampa. They only had 12 bottles of it. So what they do is they make these experimental bottles, really, or barrels, and they age them to a certain flavor profile, and they distribute them wherever they go. This one only went to Florida, and there was only so many released because it only came from one barrel. And then this whiskey will never be made again. So I figured a one-of-a-kind bottle for a one-of-a-kind fight card, which we have coming up. And it comes out of Las Vegas, comes from Las Vegas to Florida, where we're going to be making our UFC 300 picks. So I figured it would be a nice little toast for UFC 300.
Is this the first time you're having that?
Yeah, I just cracked it. I poured it a little while ago because I wanted to let the air get to it a little bit. But it's a heavy hitter. It's 122 proof, 121 proof. Oof. Somewhere in there, age 7 years. So yeah, this is a strong one. But
I've seen Smoke Wagon on the shelf. I haven't bought any because I always look down their line and I find the cheapest one, and it's a blend. So then I know you've told me to stay away from blends. So then I just move on. But it's definitely on my list.
Yeah, try the small batch, which is the lower end one. It's very good. And then the uncut, unfiltereds are all really good. They always have these cool bottles. So it's named after, you would like this because it's named after the gun, the Smoke Wagon.
Oh.
Which is, they call it the gun that won the West. So I guess it's like a, I don't know, 45 caliber handgun or something.
No, definitely wouldn't be 45.
Well, whatever it is. Whatever they used in the Wild West, big.
My guess it would be a 357 or a 44. You can drop a comment if you know.
But okay, maybe 44. All right. Well, in any case, cheers to UFC 300. Let's give this a shot here. I know you're drinking your usual E.H. Taylor pay-per-view weekend special.
I know, I've been waiting all month for this.
Ooh, that's got some heat to it. That burns up front and all the way down. I might need a little splash of water in that, but it is good. It's got a little spiciness to it. I'm going to have to let that sit for a minute. It's spicy, just like this fight card. So I figure we start at the bottom and work our way to the main event.
Yeah, but I've just finished watching the press conference, and I wanted to just talk a little bit about that before we go, because there's one thing that Dana announced that I think, I don't know, I think we need to keep this in mind when we're making these picks. So
if it's going
to
swing your picks, let's hear it.
I'm not sure if it's going to swing it. But so first off, there was no major announcement, no fights. But Dana did confirm that one, Mark Coleman will be wrapping the BMF belt.
Okay.
The mats will be blue.
Hmm. Interesting.
And the fight bonuses will be $300,000.
Wow. Wow. That's a big one.
Yeah, that's, I figured that, I don't know how much that changes that these guys are going, you know, these fighters are going out, but that's, I mean, that's a big difference.
Yeah. That's huge. I guess, everybody on this card has earned their spot on this card, right? I mean, it's filled with legends and what, 11 former champions. Yeah. So I guess if you're going to bump up the bonuses on a night, you know, do it for guys and gals who have kind of paid their dues to be here. But, you know, a couple exceptions in there, like Kayla Harrison making her UFC debut. But, you know, she has paid her dues in other ways.
You know, I kind of like that they snuck in some of these. Like, they got all the past, but they snuck in a couple up-and-comers. So a lot of people are upset about the Bo Nickel placement. Who cares?
Yeah, who gives a shit? The fighters aren't upset. Like, Cody Garbrandt even said he's happy to be fighting earlier in the day. Yeah.
O'Malley was talking earlier this week. He's like, look, if I'm not the main event, then I want to go. I'd rather go first. I mean, it just sucks sitting back there and, you know, just if you're first and you know I fight at this time, that's probably helps with the nerves a little bit, I would imagine.
Yeah, I would rather that as well. I had cornered five of my guys in some amateur Muay Thai fights last weekend, and they were kind of spread out over the card, and I could tell how the nerves were affected accordingly. The guy that went first was probably the most nervous, but he was young, and it was his first Muay Thai fight. The guy who was least nervous was like kind of right in the middle. But in any case, yeah, that's interesting. $300,000 bonuses. I don't know if that will affect the way people fight. It's probably going to be people who don't need the money that are going to end up winning it. Like some of these, you know, pretty much everyone on the main card is doing pretty well financially. Like Kayla Harrison won $1 million from the PFL a few times. So like, you know, it wouldn't be like one of the lesser known fighters who could probably really use that money. But in any case, I just added something to the prop bets that I'm going to have for you after we do our picks. So I'm going to have you do five picks here for different categories that I've made up. And it's going to be like gun to your head. You got to bet your life savings on these. So with that, let's start with the first card. And we'll try and get through these pretty quick because we got 13 fights to break down and talk about. So we got two former champions going head to head in the curtain jerker in Davison Figueiredo and Cody Garbrandt. Cody No Love Garbrandt. You know, both of these guys had their ups and downs since being champion. Figueiredo has looked great since moving up to bantamweight. You know, Cody tried to make a little run at flyweight, didn't work out. So he's a little too big. So he moved back to bantamweight, won his last two. What are the odds and who do you like here?
Cody's plus 240. Figueiredo's minus 235. You know, like you said, this is a big step up for Cody. I was going to take Figueiredo, but then something watching me watch the press conference of them guys lining up, I'm going to switch this to a prop bet of Garbrandt by TKO, which is plus 600.
Hmm. You know, that's interesting because Garbrandt's probably his best method of victory would be the knockout or the TKO. So that's the fact that there's plus 600 odds on that is really interesting. Okay, what did you say the odds were on Figueiredo?
-235.
It's interesting to me that he's such a big favorite as well. I mean, he's only had one fight as a bantamweight, and he looked great in it. But, you know, Cody's coming off of some good performances. All right. I'd like to go deeper and deeper on these, but we got a lot of fights to get to.
Yeah, there's a lot.
So let's go formerly Bobby Green, now known legally as King Green, in there with Jim Miller, who fought just a few weeks ago or 2 months ago, something like that. And, you know, this was the guy everybody was hoping would get on this card because that's what he wanted. And he has paid his dues to the point where he deserves to get what he wants. He's fought on UFC 100, fought on UFC 200. Here he is, UFC 300. I think this is a really interesting matchup. I think these guys pair up well, both for where they are in their careers and just style wise. I think it makes for a really fun fight. So what are the odds and who do you like?
Bobby King is -190 and Jim Miller's +145. I was going around work this week today talking about Jim Miller to some guys, talking about his record, 37-17, you know, how many fights he had in the UFC. And it's just really impressive. For some reason, I'm looking forward to this fight. Maybe in the top three of the night. I'm going to take Miller.
Yeah, I figured that's the way you were going to lean. All right, so we're going two underdogs back to back here. Interesting. I don't think I could ever pick against Jim Miller. So I'm good with this as well. Now we have the third former champion on the card, Jessica Andrade, back at strawweight. In there against the budding contender, Marina Rodriguez. This is an interesting fight. You know, obviously Andrade is going to have a big power advantage and Marina Rodriguez is going to have the speed and the volume. And I would say just the hunger advantage, just that desire to be a champion, is what Marina Rodriguez brings to the table. But Andrade just has that undeniable finishing power. So what are the odds here on this one?
Andrade is -140 and Rodriguez is +110. The three women fights are kind of the same situation. We have just like a specimen of their division. And then, you know, I don't know what... We just got the three big bitches, I guess. but, you know, Marina has a win over the lady that's fighting for the title tomorrow, Saturday night. So I'm going to take the underdog here, too.
Okay. So three straight underdogs. It's a dog kind of night.
Well, about to change a little bit.
All right. So I have a feeling I know which way you're going to lean in this next one because it's your arachnid brethren, Jalen Turner, in here against Renato Moicano, who has looked good since moving up to lightweight. It's going to be an awkward size matchup for him. You know, Jalen Turner is so long and lanky. Obviously, Moicano hasn't fought anybody close to this, but he trains at a big gym. Supposedly, he's had a lot of training partners come in who are able to kind of simulate the size and length of Jalen Turner. So let me hear the odds on this one.
Jalen's -250. Renato's +190.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm biased on this one. I've been a fan of Jalen for a long time. But I also see if Renato gets somehow on the ground with Jalen, it's not good for Jalen, but I don't see him being able to close that distance. I'm going to take Jalen.
It's going to be tough, man. He's going to have to really. So Moicano really likes that over-under position to work for a lot of his takedowns, which is hard to get on a much taller fighter. But maybe he's got something else up his sleeve. Something that works well against the taller, lankier fighters is a full body lock, not just the over-under. So if he's able to close the distance, if he's able to back him up to the cage and he's able to wrap around his hips, he could drag him to the ground. However, Jalen Turner's no slouch on the ground either. And those long limbs can be hard to deal with there as well. So I do think Moicano has the advantage on the ground, but I don't think it's a given that he wins if he gets it there. And it's kind of a big if for him to get it there. So I'm not mad at this pick. Before we move on, you said, you know, you're admitting your bias that you're a fan of Jalen Turner. Mm-hmm. Would you say the same thing with Jim Miller? Are you picking that one with your heart or with your head?
Oh, that's my heart too.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify for the people who are looking to put their hard-earned money on the line based on the things that we say.
I mean, like, if you've watched the show before, I'm not very good at this, but I'm betting a dollar, so I will bet the dollar so I can root for Jim Miller on Saturday night.
Yeah, and it just keeps it fun. All right. I think you got a sound clip for this next one. We got coming up. We got Super Sadiq Youssef against your boy.
Because tonight will be the night that I will fall for you.
Yeah, this is another favorite I'm gonna take. He's -145. I think this kid is a up and coming star in the UFC. He probably got just as many questions as anybody else in the press conference tonight, answering in Spanish. Mm-hmm. Although, listening to Sadiq talk, he seems like a pretty cool motherfucker too. But yeah, I'm going to take Diego Lopez.
Yeah, I'm a fan of both of these guys. Lopez is going to be a little more well-rounded. He's going to have an advantage on the ground. But, you know, Sadiq Youssef is not easy to take down, and he's going to have much cleaner striking. Which could be trouble for Lopez because he does get hit. But yeah, I just think this is a fun fight. And did you give me the odds on Youssef?
+110.
+110. So this is pretty close. So you're picking a favorite here, but it's not like a standout favorite. Like he's not blowing the odds out of the water. All right.
And this is probably the fight where this $300,000 bonus might fire some people up, because like I'm sure these two gentlemen would love to have that.
I'm sure they would. The problem with performance bonuses, like I don't think it really plays into the performances, right? Mm-hmm. Like you could say there's $1 million bonuses. These guys still need to get a win in there. They need to win. That's the most important thing. I'm gonna have to move this extra special bottle of Smoke Wagon private barrel here, which is delicious, by the way. So there's no way to get your hands on this unless you live in Florida somewhere, you know, some mom and pop liquor store that's carrying it. But it is really tasty. I definitely recommend, if you can find Smoke Wagon at your local liquor store, give it a shot. All their stuff I've had so far, it's excellent. The small batch is great. The uncut, unfiltered is really good. Everything's very tasty. All right. And they're not a sponsor, by the way. That's just what I happen to be drinking tonight. Okay. Now, here's one that I've gone kind of back and forth on. I know Kayla Harrison is a big favorite here, one of the biggest favorites on the card, right?
Yeah, she's a big one. She's -475 currently.
Yeah.
Versus +325.
And I think it came down because there was a lot of money on her, which says a lot. You know, there's a lot of people, like if you're willing to bet $500 on somebody to win $100, that really states like you think they're going to win. A lot of pressure. I think the line's definitely going to move when we see Kayla Harrison weigh in tomorrow, because that's the big question mark on everybody's mind. How is she going to look making 135 pounds if she makes 135 pounds? And if she doesn't, will Holly Holm even take this fight? because even though Holly Holm has fought as high as 145, I could see her being at the point in the career where she's like, no, I don't need to take a fight with this girl. She missed the weight. So a lot's going to depend on that. She was an Olympic gold medalist twice at, I want to say, 170 pounds. She was a champion in the PFL at 155 pounds. She has made 145 a few times in her MMA career, but it was tough. And, you know, the weight is just the biggest X factor here for me. I will say, all of that being said, if anyone has the discipline to do it and to do it right, it's Kayla Harrison. And obviously we know she's got a pretty big bankroll. She's at a really high profile gym with a lot of smart people, a lot of smart trainers and coaches and experienced fighters. So I'm sure she's doing everything right. All that being said, you know, Holly Holm is kind of near the tail end of her career, and her last few fights where she's done well, she's been using a lot of wrestling, and wrestling's not going to do any good here against the Olympic gold medal champion. Like, if you're going to tie up or shoot in on Kayla Harrison, you're going to get thrown head over heels. So she's going to have to go back to the Holly Holm of old, use her range, use her length, try and keep Kayla at bay and outstrike her, since she has a distinct advantage on the feet. So who are you going with here?
Well, yeah, I was thinking the same thing. It's like, she's not going to clinch it up with Kayla is not a good idea.
I mean, no.
Unless you want to be hit by the cage, or not the mm-hmm. cage, by the cage mat, rather.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I want to pick Kayla, but it doesn't make any sense betting on her.
I mean, yeah, a dollar wins you what, 5 cents?
Yeah, 5 cents. So I'm either going to just move that dollar onto somebody else, or, I mean, would Kayla win by a submission?
She could.
But a submission is plus 275. I think I'm going to pass on this one.
What's Kayla by TKO?
Plus 380.
That's a possibility. She could ground and pound her. Referee has to step in.
Because she is allowed to bring back what she called the hellbow.
Uh-huh.
She hasn't been able to throw that for a while. But
it's interesting that Kayla Harrison is such a big favorite, but there's plus money on finishes.
If you pick a method decision, it's always plus money.
Yeah, but it seems like a pretty big margin. I thought it would be pretty small.
I mean, I think if you pick Bo Nichols, winning method is still plus money. But right. Anyway.
Okay. So are you passing on this one? Or
no,
you...
my pick is Kayla, but I will not be betting on it because it doesn't make any damn sense.
Okay, so we'll
put it somewhere. We'll put it somewhere else where we can make more money.
So you think Kayla's going to win, but you're not laying down any money because you don't want that nickel.
No.
Every nickel helps, you know. All right. So that's another former champion, Holly Holm there. So let's get to another former champion who's moving up in weight, Aljamain Sterling, getting in there with Calvin Kattar, who's coming off a knee injury. Hasn't fought in, 18 months or so?
October 22.
Okay. So, yeah, about 18 months. 1-3 in his last four fights. And, of course, he injured that knee in that fight with Arnold Allen back in October 2022. Man, if this was just a straight fight that was happening, you know, with Kattar coming off of the Dan Ige win, I would definitely favor Kattar here, but man, a major knee surgery at 36 years old and that much time off is kind of concerning. Everybody keeps talking about, you know, what about the grappling of Aljamain Sterling? I mean, Calvin Kattar can grapple really well. I mean, when we saw him in there with Zabit Magomed Sharipov, that guy couldn't really get him down, couldn't really hold him down, and gassed out trying to do it, to the point that Cater came back and was putting it on him in that third round. And we don't know how Aljamain's going to look. I mean, we know he's a big bantamweight, but does that mean he's going to be big enough for featherweight? I don't really know. I mean,
he definitely looked big. He definitely looked smaller than Calvin at the face-off tonight.
Yeah, so let's see how that plays in. I mean, a lot of Aljamain's strategy at bantamweight was this bullying style because he was kind of bigger than everyone, and he's not going to have that now. And if he tries to bully Cater and get in his face, he's going to get his face boxed up. So what are the odds here?
Calvin's plus 135. The Funk Master is minus 175.
Okay. So pretty close on the odds here. I agree with the way these odds are set up. I mean, you know, Calvin Cater hasn't looked great as of late. And you know, coming off a knee surgery at 36 years old is concerning if you're thinking about, you know, laying down a big bet on Calvin Cater. But, you know, is Aljo going to carry over his same style that he had success with at bantamweight at 145 pounds is the question. So what do you think?
Well, you know, we got the striker versus grappler. He's thoroughly moving up to 145, but I'm a bit concerned on how he's handling this. There's been some reports that he's eating like shit, you know, kind of, oh, I'm moving up. It'll be easy. It doesn't matter.
Uh-huh.
His media day interview, he kept saying things like, well, we're going to see how this goes and this and that. It's concerning.
Okay.
There's also, I saw today that he might have a staph infection on his elbow back here, which that wouldn't be very good, but mm-hmm. I'm not too sure about injuries.
Okay, so
skin
all
infections on
all speculation. I mean,
yeah, but he I did not like the way he was talking. But I'm gonna make this pick like prime Aljamain Sterling's walking in. I see at least two human backpacks. I think he could, you know, take this fight just by if all else fails, just get on his back because he has a hard time getting people have a hard time getting him off his back. Or they're back. And also he's got Ray Longo in his corner, and I have a hard time picking against Mr. Longo. So I'll take the Funk Master.
Another pick from the heart. One other factor we should throw in here, Calvin Cater has, I think, a 91% takedown defense, which is pretty incredible, especially in that featherweight division. So he's really hard to take down. But, you know, like you said, Aljamain is pretty sneaky. He could, you know, hit just a duck under and get to the back, and that wouldn't necessarily count as a takedown. But, Aljo is just weird and unorthodox like that. You know, that's why they call him the Funk Master. He's got a funky style.
I wouldn't call this a pick from the heart either. That was just a added bonus.
That was just Longo's the icing on the cake.
If Longo's around, we want to talk about Longo. Who doesn't want to talk about Longo?
True story, man. One of my favorite people in this sport. So I would make picks just based on Ray Longo. All right. So another former champion here who, you know, just lost the title to the man in the main event, Jiří Procházka, getting in there with Alexander Rakic. Rakic was all the rage when he came to the UFC. This guy had so much hype behind him. He had that nasty knockout of Jimmy Manoa back in 2019 where he just slumped him over. And that was the last time he finished a fight. You know, he had that loss to Volkan Ozdemir where he got his ass beat, quite frankly. And then, you know, back-to-back decision wins over Anthony Smith, Thiago Santos, and then he had that knee injury against Jan Blachowicz. Jiří is coming off of losing his title. It was his first loss in the UFC. The guy seems like a madman, but he actually has a really sound fight IQ, which, you know, sounds weird to say because he has such a wild style, but I feel like in that wildness, he's still in the pilot seat and he's still able to control some things. I know he wasn't 100% going into the Pereira fight. I've been high on Jiří Procházka since before he came to the UFC. But what do the odds say here?
It's a pick 'em fight, minus 105 for Jiří, minus 120 for Rakic. On Monday, Jiří was an underdog, like plus 110. I wish I would have bet it then. They've been having a weird back and forth this week about what makes you a samurai.
Yeah, I saw some of that. It was lame.
But I'm going to take Jiří here. This might be because I don't have much knowledge of Rakic. I mean, it's probably because he seems to put so much time in between his fights, but
yeah,
I want to take Jiří. And fun fact, Jiří was probably, he had a huge pop tonight at the press conference. That was not expected. I mean, huge.
Yeah. I mean, the guy's so fun to watch, and he's had a lot of time between fights too. I think he's only fought once a year since he's come to the UFC. He's just done everything so smart with his career. I mean, he was a champion over in Japan, and the UFC tried to recruit him earlier, and he said no. He was like, no, I want to get some more experience. I want to make sure I'm ready before I come to the UFC. And, you know, he put on some phenomenal fights over there, became the champion over there, and then said, you know, I got enough fights under my belt. Now I'm ready to come to the UFC. And, man, he's just been incredible. I mean, even the fight with Pereira was so fun to watch until it ended. And then, you know, came to the UFC in 2020, had some of the most incredible, you know, highlight reel finishes. The fight with Glover Teixeira was amazing. The spinning back elbow over Dominic Reyes, incredible. Nasty knockout over Volkan Ozdemir. I don't really see anywhere that Rakic wins this fight. I mean, he was trying his best to get into Jiří's head, and it was so awkward. He's like, you can't be samurai because your coach gave you a book. And then Yuri's response was like, I never say I am samurai. He doesn't know who I am in my life behind fighting, outside fight. And it was like, they were trying so hard to get some good sound bites out of these two guys, but they're just two badass European motherfuckers that are going to get in there and settle it with their hands and feet. And that's what I love about this fight.
Jiří's going to take this one easy, I think.
I kind of see it going that way too. And I hate to speak in such definite terms. I rarely do. I always try to give, well, this is how this guy could win, and this is how this guy could win. I don't see it, man. I don't see why Jiří was an underdog going into this. And I just can't see a path to victory for Rakic. I really can't. If he's somehow able to get Jiří to the ground, it's not like he has super slick submission skills where he could pull something out of his hat. But I mean, who knows? I'm wrong very often, which is why I don't do the picks and you do.
Yeah, me too. I went 1-3, 1-4 last week.
Ugh. All right. So,
well, I'm glad that wraps up UFC 300, right?
The prelims.
Oh, shit.
So now we got the main card, the undefeated Bonickle, 4-time NCAA All American national champion, getting in there with Cody Brundage, who is got, you know, 3 times the experience of Bonickle in MMA. Also a wrestler, very good wrestler in his own right. But this is the biggest odds discrepancy on the card, right?
Yeah, it's Bo Nickel's -2500 to Cody Brundage's +800, which I find insulting. Like, give us some more. Fun fact, I learned this week that so next week is the Olympic wrestling trial. So Nickel's been at Penn State through this camp working with those boys.
Okay.
So the cardio should be on point.
I'm sure.
So everything says that Nickel should win. Should be easy. But it's been a couple weeks. I'm going to bring something back.
Mr. Jackpots.
So Cody Brundage by TKO is plus 2,250. Like I said, I'd be wasting my money by throwing it on minus 2,500. Bo Knuckle is young in his MMA career. Mistakes could still be made. I'm going to throw my dollar down there and see what the hell happens.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a firefight, and Bo just gets caught, you know, dives in for a takedown and pays for it. I mean, we've seen him, you know, his hands look pretty clean. In the little we've seen of him, we've only seen five fights, but, you know, I don't know if I've ever seen a UFC fighter with five fights look that clean in the striking, you know, that comes from a wrestling background. Obviously, he's been doing everything the right way. He's finished every single fight in the first round. He's got submissions. He's got three different submissions in his five fights, actually, and two knockouts. Oh, man.
Yeah, it's not looking good for Brundage, but we're just playing numbers here.
Yeah, and, you know, Cody Brundage is a good fighter. You know, he's coming off of back-to-back wins. Although, you know, the Jacob Malkoon fight, he won off a disqualification. But, you know, he was submitted by Adolfo Vieira back in April of last year. Yeah, man, it's not looking good. But, I mean, at those odds, how do you not sprinkle a couple bucks, right?
Yeah. Take a chance. Columbus did.
Imagine Cody Brundage knocks out Bo Knuckle, bet on himself at plus 2250. Let's say that. He bets his life savings on himself.
He can't do that.
All right. Shit. They should be able to do that. They should be able to bet on themselves.
Yeah, they should.
They shouldn't be able to bet against themselves. That would be fucked up.
I think the problem is who regulates that.
Mm-hmm. Man, yeah.
But unless you're that, what's the baseball player? You're allowed to. The one baseball player just got busted.
Who's that?
Oh,
doesn't matter.
Ohani, he's like the second coming in the MLB world. But he got one of his trainers or somebody got caught making big $1 million bets. It's like. This is the guy that got like the $1 billion contract. So,
$1 billion.
I mean, I don't think it was a full billion, but it's a shitload of money.
My goodness! All right, another former champ, Charles Oliveira, who is, you know, probably one of the most beloved fighters on the roster. Like, people are hardcore Charles Oliveira fans. Getting in there with Armand Saryukyan, who is super well-rounded, put up a really good fight with the champ Islam Makhachev several years ago and has just been on an absolute tear ever since. I think, you know, if you ask Saryukyan, he just looks at this as like the next step towards him becoming the champion. He's got his eyes on Islam and, you know, he's coming off of that really impressive knockout win of Beneil Dariush. He's got a ton of momentum. Oliveira, man, as much as I like him, and, you know, he's also coming off of a knockout win over Beneil Dariush. There's just been, and he was on a crazy win streak on his way to the title, but then, you know, missing weight in the championship fight. He lost some steam and then getting submitted by Makhachev. It just, you know, are we looking at the Charles Oliveira who was struggling back in 2015, 2016? Or are we going to get the Charles Oliveira who was on an absolute tear from 2018 until he lost the title in 2022? And that's the big question. So what are the odds here?
The Bronx is plus 170 versus Armin's minus 220.
Okay. And it's interesting. They're both coming off of knockout wins over the same guy, right? Oliveira was just the champion not that long ago. And Saryukyan has a loss to the champion. I'm interested not only in who you like for this one, but how do they get it done?
So I'm going to take Oliveira. I'm going to take him because I have a hard time not taking a plus number on the guy with the most submissions in the UFC history.
That's fair.
And I definitely think we could see a situation where Oliver, you know, has Armin in guard and Armin just beats the shit out of him. I mean, that's definitely possible, but
yeah,
again, I mean, we're trying to make money and Oliveira as the underdog is just too tasty for me.
So are you saying that his best path to victory is a submission, though?
No. I'm just saying it's Charles Oliveira and it's plus 170.
It's going to be interesting because Oliveira has such a wild and unpredictable striking style, right? Because he doesn't care about being taken down.
And he gets hit.
Yeah, he gets hit, but he throws some wacky stuff, which can be hard to deal with. You know, that's not something you can prepare for. It's the same kind of style that brought Fabricio Werdum a lot of success. Like, he would just come out throwing running, flying kicks because he didn't give a fuck. If he landed on his back, he's comfortable there. And Oliveira is kind of in the same boat. Saryukyan's going to have to make it a technical fight. You know, he's going to have to turn it into that. And I kind of see him doing it. I kind of see him just, you know, putting the technique on Oliveira and controlling the pace and where the fight goes and eking out a decision here. I don't think we're going to have a contender for fight of the night at all. You know, these two would probably be at the bottom of my list for people that would potentially get that $300,000 bonus. But yeah, I mean, Oliveira could definitely pull it off for sure.
It's time for the people's main event.
Yeah, and that's what they're calling it, right?
Yep.
The BMF title fight, another former undisputed champion in Max Holloway, moving up in weight for a fight that he asked for against a highlight, Justin Gaethje. Looks like Magomed Ankalaev is on this stream or somebody who's impersonating him. Either way, whoever you are, welcome. Thanks for joining the show. Thanks, everybody, for joining the show. And feel free to chime in on the chat. I see Mark is chatting it up there and giving us some information. He let us know the name of that baseball player you were thinking of before.
Ohtani. Yeah, that's it.
Ohtani.
That motherfucker got paid.
He's Japanese?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like the best hitter in the league and the best pitcher.
Oh, wow. Oh, he can do it all, huh?
Yeah. And he gets paid for it.
Oh, yeah. Very Ohtani-mas. All right. So Gaethje obviously has the power advantage against Max Holloway, who's still never been knocked down in his UFC career. He got stumbled a couple of times when he fought Dustin Poirier at lightweight, but never been knocked down by strikes officially in the UFC. A volume fighter to the highest degree, pressure, volume, and he's well-rounded as well. I mean, if the fight goes to the ground, Max would have an advantage there, but you know, let's be real. He's not going to take Justin Gaethje down. This would have to get to the ground in some other way. Like, he would have to knock Justin Gaethje down and then get on top of him. And then it would be an interesting fight there. You know, it's one of those fights where I think most people don't want to see anyone lose here. I'm definitely in that boat. But what are the odds?
Gaethje's minus 162, Holloway plus 136. I've went back and forth this one so much.
It's a tough one. I wouldn't want to be you.
You know, there's so much, many angles to all this, but one thing I keep coming back to is, what the hell is Max going to do when Justin starts hammering his legs?
Take it.
And then there's a... Have you seen that Max apparently has a cold, a chest cold?
I did not.
Yeah, so he did an ESPN article or interview like last Saturday, Friday or Saturday, and he's definitely sick. He's coughing during the interview, hacking, spitting. Mm-hmm. I have a little bit from the press conference tonight, and I think you can still hear it. So,
brother, without that record, I couldn't care less. You know, I'm excited that I got Justin Gaethje in front of me. And like all you guys like, I love it. It's going to be violent. So now there's 300K on the line. Oh, my gosh. It's going to be even more violent. So
he sounds much better, and it's clearing up. But you can still tell there's still a little bit, and that's not good.
Well, I mean, he's always kind of sounds like he has a chest cold, though.
Yeah, I agree. But he on this other, I should have got from the other one. He was sick.
So interesting.
That's not good.
And while you're cutting weight, you know, your immune system takes a beating as well. So it's going to be hard for him to recover while he's dehydrating himself. But, you know, someone like Max Holloway, who's just so tough. I mean, he's done this so many times. I don't think it'll affect him that much. I mean, these guys always go into these fights with something wrong, right? If it's not a chest cold, it's like a nagging knee injury, or it's like a... a stretched labrum, or it's a torn fucking sciatic nerve or something. So I wouldn't weigh too heavily on that, but which way are you leaning?
I'm taking Gaethje.
Yeah, I figured you would. Okay.
But I think both of these guys, like if somebody goes, these two guys are like, hey, I want to watch, I've never watched UFC before. I would probably, like, if I was picking five fights, have them watch, both of these guys would be in one. Like, it's...
Yeah. I mean, it's on paper, there's no way it's a boring fight, right?
Yeah.
These guys could
tend to be boring.
These guys could be straight slugging it out. Both have great chins. You know. And Max Holloway's power has developed as his career has gone on. He's kind of grown into his power, you know? The knockout of Korean Zombie. And, you know, if he did this the right way, unlike the Poirier fight where he took on last minute moving up to lightweight, you know, if he put on a little bit of muscle, did a little bit of extra strength and conditioning, you know, how much of that power is going to translate to the higher weight class?
And he has his new shorts.
Yeah, he's got his floral shorts. He's got his lay pattern shorts. All right. Wiley Zhang and Xianan Yan, the country women, going to war over the strawweight championship here. The fight where, let's be honest, probably everybody's getting up for a beer. I mean, unless you're playing the odds on this, I imagine you're going with Zhang, but, you know, what are the odds?
Minus 500 to plus 360. I'm not betting. I don't have a prop bet to pick here. I think there's only, like, if you're going to beat Wei Li, you're either going to have to use your strength and physicality to beat her, or you have to, like, put, like, on a perfect technical performance like Rose did, and mm-hmm. I don't see Miss Yan doing either one of those.
Yeah, I mean, Yan is good. She's a good fighter. Wiley Zhang's only kryptonite has been Rose Namajunas. So it's hard. It's hard to say what Jan can do, you know, especially since, you know, she's 2-2 in her last four fights. You know, the knockout over
somebody fighting on the prelims.
Yeah. And it was a close fight. You know, it was a split decision against Marina Rodriguez, but, you know, she got knocked out by Carla Esparza. You know, I'll leave it at that. All right. Now, the main event, which, you know, this fight came out of left field for everybody, including Jamahal Hill. You know, everybody was kind of expecting, like, oh, it's got to be Conor McGregor. It's going to be Brock Lesnar. It's going to be, you know, Kimo Leopoldo. They're bringing him back from UFC.
Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, Ronda Rousey. According to her, the greatest female fighter of all time. I love this fight. And I think out of all the fights on the card, I'm the most undecided as to how this one goes. I've been going back and forth, volleying this in my head as to how this could go. You know, the injury from Jamahal Hill, and Pereira, we know, has knockout power right up until the last bell. Jamahal Hill, super high fight IQ, not even that much more MMA experience. You know, that's been kind of the dialogue. It's like, well, Pereira has all this kickboxing experience. Jamahal Hill is a more well-rounded MMA fighter, but he's only got like two more fights than Pereira does.
Yeah. And everybody keeps saying, well, Jamahal Hill might take him down, but you know, he's a jiu-jitsu brown belt. But I mean, I think you have one of those things, but no offense. I don't think that would help you against Jamahal Hill. Pereira.
Yeah, I don't think I'm submitting Alex Pereira.
No. I mean, when this fight was announced, I was like, I don't think Jamahal has a chance in hell, and I still think that. But Jamahal Hill, I don't know, man. Like, watching him this week, something about him, like, he's walking around media day with a sweatshirt, like, getting an autograph of every fighter, including Pierre. He's like a little fan. I don't know.
So, all right. I don't think he's going to try and take him down. Maybe he will, but that's a tall order. If you look at Jamahal Hill striking, he's really fucking good. His only loss was when Paul Craig broke his arm in half, and he still wanted to continue fighting. He's a tough dude. And, you know, he's coming off of a gruesome injury, tearing his Achilles, right? We've seen him bounce back from a gruesome injury before. You know, Paul Craig broke his arm and his elbow in half, I think. Came back, won four fights in a row. Knocked out Jimmy Crute. Knocked out Johnny Walker. Beat the shit out of Thiago Santos. And then beat Glover Teixeira, Alex Pereira's mentor, for the title. You know, and Glover Teixeira wasn't able to out-grapple him. So he's got good defensive grappling. We've never seen him really be offensive with his grappling because his striking is so good. Now, he's planning to go in there and stand toe-to-toe with Alex Pereira. Pereira, we know, has crazy knockout power. So does Jamahal Hill. They both have really high fight IQ. They both can go five rounds. They both have five-round gas tanks. They both have really high fight IQs. We've seen it time and time again from both of them. You know, even in their limited MMA experience, both of them, we've seen them both fight really smart with really great game plans. And I think Jamahal Hill is a lot smarter than people give him credit for. You know, he kind of, you know, he does these goofy videos online where he plays like this kind of like goofy guy that just does funny shit. And, you know, I think intentionally was posting old videos of himself looking really out of shape. And then he shows up to UFC 300 fight week looking lean. But if you look, if you go through his Instagram the last few weeks, he's posting all videos of him looking pretty pudgy, you know, like he's taking this on too short a notice and he's not really prepared. And, you know, I don't know if that was intentional or not, but he looks like he's in really great shape. And again, I don't mean to sound like a broken record. He's a really intelligent fighter. So I'm so interested in how this main event goes. I really can't make my mind up about how it's going to go because, you know, I want to say, you know, Padilla has that knockout chance right up until the final bell. You know, we saw him knock out Adesanya in the fifth round, which made me a little bit of money because I bet on him by knockout in the fifth round in that fight. But, you know, Jamahal Hill has gone the distance with Glover Teixeira, who's the mentor of Padilla. I love this fight so much. I know a lot of people were disappointed when it was announced as the main event. I'm really looking forward to this fight. So all that being said, what are the odds?
Jamahal Hill's plus 110. Pierre's minus 140. And Jamahal Hill by knockout or TKO is plus 180. And plus 120 on Pierre for the same thing.
Damn. So they know. They don't want to pay out for a knockout here because they know it's probably happening.
Yeah, and the over-under is round and a half.
I'm gonna pour a little bit of this, more of this smoke wagon here before you tell me who you're going with.
Okay, good. Give me some.
Are you still, like, making your mind up now?
Yep.
Man, this is a tough one. This is a tough one. It might just be, like, who is able to land that big shot, right? It might very well come down to that. So, who's going to do it?
Fuck it. Let's take Jamahal Hill by knockout.
Ooh. And what are the odds on the knockout?
Plus 180.
It's tight. The odds are tight.
Yeah.
And for a reason. Like, fuck, man. And after talking this out, I'm even more excited for this fight.
Yeah, because it's crazy because Pierre is talking about, oh, I'm going to win this fight, and then I'm going to go get the heavyweight belt, which
yeah,
we talk about triple champs who didn't think about the big dudes. Like, this is all weird. That was probably a stupid bet on my behalf, but, man, it's going to be fun to root for.
And he could do it.
Yeah, he'd do it.
He wants to fight, what, in 3 weeks in Brazil or whatever?
Yeah, and he just he was on that, I mean, for what it's worth, but he was punching that little punch scale thing at the Apex or at the Performance Institute and destroyed Ngannou's. And then the guy that also just beat Ngannou,
Joe Pyfer.
Yeah. Pierre just whacked all of them. Like,
really?
By a big percentage, like 20%. I think Francis was like 89,000 and Alex just landed like 129.
Holy fuck. That's like Rocky IV when Ivan Drago was like punching that thing.
It was a weird punch. I mean, you'd know much more than that about it than me. It was a weird, I don't know. But hey, I've already made my pick, but how much, my striking mechanics, I don't know, how much, like that Achilles on Jamahal Hill's, with his big power shot, how, does that affect that? I mean,
which leg was it?
I think it was his right.
Then not that much because he's a southpaw. So, you know, a lot of your power, like the kinetic linking comes from your back foot and the rotation off of that back foot. I mean, look, he's going to have to rely on, I would be more concerned about his footwork. You know, how's his footwork going to look? Because he's going to have to get out of the way. A lot of people think you know, they look at like old videos of Muhammad Ali, right? Where he's just like in the corner moving his head. Great. Fantastic. If you're Muhammad Ali, that's great. But a lot of, you know, avoiding getting hit comes down to your footwork and your positioning, not so much your head movement. The head movement is kind of like the last resort, right? That's your parachute if the plane's on fire. But really, it's about positioning and footwork. So I would be more concerned about how that's going to look coming off of a torn Achilles. I have this fruit fly that's been flying around my face this entire podcast, and I can't catch him. But yeah, that's what I would be concerned with Jamal Hill. But power-wise, if he just wants to stand in the pocket, I'm sure he's packing just as much power as he had in his last fight. So that's my two cents. But what do I know?
A lot.
That might be a hot take. Yeah. Hot take of the week.
So that's it. We did it.
Yeah, we picked the entire card. So real quick recap, and then I have some prop bets that I want you to pick on. You're going with Cody Garbrandt, Jim Miller, Marina Rodriguez, Jalen Turner, Diego Lopez, Kayla Harrison, Aljamain Sterling, Yuri Prochazka, Cody Brundage by knockout, Mr. Jackpot's pick, Charlie Olives, Justin Gaethje. You're abstaining from Zhang versus Yan, and then you're going Jamal Hill by knockout.
Yep.
All right. Now I have some prop picks for you, or what I'm calling prop picks. Now, this is gun to your head. Somebody's forcing you to bet your life savings on one underdog on the entire UFC 300 card. Who are you taking to save your entire nest egg?
Oh, shit.
You want me to tell you all the underdogs?
I mean, I have it here.
Who's going to be the most reliable underdog? And I want to hear from you guys in the comments, too, because this is going to, I'm going to pose this question on social media tomorrow. You have to bet everything you have in the bank on one UFC 300 underdog. Who are you taking? Who are you going to put all your chips on?
Man, I mean, it's Charles Oliveira, but I don't think so. I think I'm going to take Yuri. Yuri is technically an underdog.
All right. I mean, technically he's even money right now, but I'll give it to you since he's an underdog.
He's minus 120 versus minus 105, so he's the underdog.
But they both have minus next to them, that's kind of even money, isn't it?
I mean, I don't know. I don't think so. Anyway.
All right, I'll give you Yuri. All right. All the money in the bank, you have to bet on one female fighter on this card. Who are you picking?
Wei Li.
All the money in the bank. One former undisputed champion has to win on this card. Cannot be a current champion. Only a former champion.
Probably be the same as my underdog pick, but we'll switch it up and we'll go with the Funkmaster.
You going Aljo?
Yeah.
Okay. All the money you have in the bank, the over-under on Max Holloway versus Justin Gaethje is 3.5 rounds.
Under.
You're taking the under on that?
Under.
Really? You think somebody gets knocked out?
Yeah.
So, and since you bet on Gaethje, you're saying Max Holloway is going to get knocked out in under 3.5 rounds?
Yeah.
All right. Last question. If you had to pick ahead of time which fight on this entire card will get a $300,000 fight of the night bonus. Not performance of the night, fight of the night.
Let's go with the young kids and our boy Lopez and whoever the hell he's fighting. What's his name? Sadiq Youssef.
Yeah. Now, I want you to think about this. You know how the UFC bonuses work.
No.
Do you think with all these fights on the main card, they would give the fight of the night to a prelim fight?
No, you're right. It's the people's fight. It's Max Holloway, but no, but that has to be a really good back and forth fight, right?
Yeah.
So I guess. Man, why didn't you give me these questions like yesterday?
Because it wouldn't be fun. We got to do it on the spot.
Okay, I'll still take that. Let's give me Gaethje Holloway. It'll either be what you said, you know, the under or fight of the night. So,
okay, so Gaethje Holloway.
Yeah. Did you make these picks?
No. But we're going to go on your picks, and if you get 2 out of 5 correct, then I'll do a nasty shot next week.
Okay.
And if you get less than 2 correct, you're doing the shot.
Okay, that'll make up for the no hot take this week.
Yeah, let's do that instead of the hot take. So I want to know everybody's underdog pick. You have to bet your life savings on an underdog. Who's it going to be? And just a quick rundown of the underdogs. Your choices are former champ, Cody Garbrandt, Jim Miller, Marina Rodriguez, Renato Moicano, Sadiq Youssef, Holly Holm, former champ, Calvin Kattar, Jiří Prochazka, Cody Brundage, former champ Charles Oliveira, former champ Max Holloway, Xianan Yan, and former champ Jamal Hill. Those are your options. I want to see a comment from everybody on the live feed. Who are you betting your life savings on to win as an underdog at UFC 300? I'm going to pose this question on social media tomorrow as well, and I hope we have some fun with the answers there. Man, that about does it. We're at the over an hour mark where, you know, the listenership takes a nosedive. But is there any other news or any other things going on that you wanted to?
I just got one fun thing on the from the press conference to play us out.
I like fun.
The last question of the press conference was Joaquin Buckley popped in.
Okay.
He had a question for Dana, and I just have never heard this before.
Okay.
Hey, look, the whole crowd had told me, man, look, y'all coming back to St. Louis. Everybody know the main event, Derrick Lewis. Hey, we love Derrick Lewis, but you don't want to fight 5 rounds. Dana, come on. Switch it up, man, to give your boy New Mansa the main event of St. Louis in his hometown, baby. Let's go.
Thanks for coming out today, you guys. We're fierce to win.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, have you ever saw that before? When he just popped up, I don't know.
Like, did he come in there as media?
No, yeah, he was standing in line with because it kept going back and forth. They had two lines of media guys waiting to ask a question, and they kept cutting to the one on the left side. And I was like, what the fuck is Joaquin Buckley doing there? And then they went to him, and he shot his shot. And I tend to agree with him. That should be the hot take.
I mean, I'll agree with that. I don't have a disgusting shot to take, but...
No, we don't have to. We're on his side.
Like, oh, okay. Well, in that case, I'll drink some more of this delicious smoke wagon. So Mark Fellows is also going with Jiří Procházka as his underdog pick, and he's going to throw $20 on it. So, it seems like, I mean, I would probably go with Jiří as well. It seems like the safest pick, but damn, it's a tough question I came up with.
Yeah, no shit.
Pat myself on the back for that one. I want to hear some, like, if it was just like a regular bet, I'd be like, whatever, Max Holloway. But I'm like, fuck, I need somebody that I can count my life savings on. All my millions.
Well, maybe if all your millions, maybe you should be making these bets, not me.
a little bit of hyperbole there.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. This was a fun show. You guys already know about the merchandise, most of you. Reaper1.co is the website. You can use the promo code MMARocks10. Grab yourself an over-the-top, under-the-influence t-shirt, tank top, or hoodie from there. All the links are in the show notes. As always, thanks everybody for joining the live show. Much more popular live show than usual. You guys were pretty quiet, except for Mark, but I appreciate you all tuning in. I hope everybody has an awesome time watching UFC 300. I'm actually going to be in New York visiting my family because I'm going with my dad to see Buddy Guy in concert on Sunday. It's his farewell tour. For those of you who don't know Buddy Guy, he's a blues guitarist. I think he's 86 years old. And my dad and I have been going to see him in concert since he was, I want to say, 71. And he's put on awesome shows every time we've seen him. So going to see his farewell tour. So I'm going to be at my sister's house without the kiddo for the weekend. So I'm going to be able to sit down and enjoy the fights from top to bottom. I hope you're all able to do the same as well.
Yeah, I'm going to watch the fights with a bunch of people that have never watched a UFC pay-per-view. So this should be fun.
That's fun too.
Yeah, I hope it's exciting.
Well,
I'm watching it and I'm not doing anything else. So
you're going to be explaining what's going on to a lot of these folks. But that can be fun.
It can be fun. Whatever.
Well, in any case, I hope you guys all pour something nice this Saturday and enjoy the fights. And until next time, cheers, everybody. Goodbye.